Rat.
Rose.
No.
Star Trek fans, and welcome back to Warp Trails. This is the RetroZap Podcast Network show devoted to Star Trek. I'm your host, Dennis Keithley, and with me, as always, is my wife, co-host, and most favorite Star Trek fan, Beth.
Hello!
So tonight we'll be discussing episode 6 of season 2 of Strange New Worlds, and that is called Lost in Translation. This episode is about when the Enterprise heads off to the Bannon Nebula to harvest deuterium, and while they're there, they discover an alien species living in the deuterium, which causes Uhura to have a number of strange visions, and and of course, this is a full spoiler episode now that I've just told you all about it, so,
oops,
and we'll get to the resolution here in just a bit. Beth, off the top, what did you think about this episode overall?
I really enjoyed it, which I do feel a little bad saying, because I really like Uhura as a character, and watching her suffer for an hour probably shouldn't be something that I enjoyed, but I thought it was extremely well written and extremely well acted. And we have discussed on several occasions about how Worlds takes traditional Star Trek plots and plays with them, and I think this is really a good version of the aliens that we can't see living in the nebula, that kind of thing. And the one character is experiencing things, and, you know, is it real? Is it insanity? So those are two very common Star Trek things. And I thought it was extremely well done and extremely well acted. And I really enjoyed seeing Paul Wesley's James Kirk in a role that was actually in this timeline, so that there's actual impact. How about you?
No, I liked it as well. I echo your sentiment about seeing basically a classic Star Trek theme showing up in this, and I thought it was very well done, a nice twist on how they were attempting to communicate with Uhura in this one. I also like James Kirk in this quite a bit. It was fun getting to see him interact with his brother and the little sibling rivalry that they've got going on. And then there was a number of other touchstone moments that we'll get to as we get through our discussion here. But, you know, right off the bat, one of the reasons that they're here in this nebula mining, or I say mining, but harvesting this deuterium, is because it is near Gorn space. Mm-hmm. And this is really only the second reference we've had to some sort of impending Gorn conflict, when they seem to be like drawing a huge arrow to that at the end of the first episode of the season. So do you think this is something that maybe they should have been talking about more of the course of the season, or are you fine just getting back to it now?
I am actually enjoying it quite a bit. And I think one of the things I really enjoyed about this episode, and I know we're jumping around all over the place, was how often did you expect, like, when they were, so the station is huge and it's empty and it's dark, but it definitely has that, like, it's the opposite of suffocating, right? It's so big that something could be around a corner at any time. And how often were you expecting a Gorn to jump out? Like, I think it really added potential stakes to it. It's like, oh, is this when the Gorn are going to show up? Is this when the Gorn are show up? And it did get me on edge in a way that I think really helped. I'm not going to say I felt what Uhura was feeling by any stretch of the imagination. Like, at any moment something bad was going to happen was very much a vibe I had the entire episode. And in fact, really kind of had to watch it again before a lot of the nuance kind of hit me, because I was so busy waiting for a Gorn to jump out of a corner. I actually thought it was really smart that they're setting this up. One of the things I like about Strange New Worlds is the mix of the episodic, but that there are some things that move through episodes that are, you know, a through thread through seasons. And I think the Gorn and some of the emotional stuff, Pelia and Hemmer, and kind of that dichotomy and that transition, I thought were really good to be in this episode. But I'm interested to hear what you think about it.
Well, you gave me a lot to respond to there. as far as expecting the Gorn, I have to be honest, I lost track of that plot point the first time I saw this episode, because it was just kind of mentioned once at the beginning of the episode and then dropped until later in the episode. And so when we were deep within the psychoses that Uhura was going through, and Ramon, who was the officer from the Farragut, who was also experiencing this, you know, that's where I was expecting to see. You know, there was a brief moment when Pellia was talking about sabotage on the station and why they couldn't get to work. And, you know, she was having that conversation with Una, and Una's like, you know, you disobeyed a direct order that I gave you. And she said, well, it's a good thing I did, because otherwise we wouldn't have discovered the sabotage. And at that point, I was like, oh, who else is on the station? I wasn't even thinking of the Gorn. When I came back and watched it a second time, I was like, I got to agree with you. I picked up on the Gorn thing, and it stuck out to me much more that time around. But at that point, you know, I'd already seen the episode. So, but you brought up Pellia, and this is the first time we've seen her in a few episodes. She'd been absent for a bit. So it was kind of good to get her back in a more active role as the engineer. And then there was that interesting dynamic that she had with Number One on this. So speak to that a little bit more directly. What did you think about how their relationship shook out over the course of this episode?
I thought this was an extremely good Pellia episode. I mean, she is not the focus, but this was an extremely good Pellia episode, because I agree 100% with the point that she made to Number One, which was basically like, I have lived lifetimes and I need you to cut me some slack. I can't remember what exactly the line was that Number One had, but it was basically the, you know, we don't do things based on feelings and smells. And I get it. And I understand that. And that is definitely the Starfleet way, although hunches certainly are respected quite a bit. And what was interesting about this episode, and again, kudos to the writers on this one, is on one hand, you know, I think it was interesting because Una says basically, we don't go with hunches. And then the final part of the episode is Pike saying to Uhura, are you sure? And she says, yes. And he blows up a fuel station on her hunch. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really interesting, because I think, and in a less, I think, well done, well thought out show, that scene at the end where Number One and Pellia are talking, and Number One says, you know, you gave me a C in, you know, starship maintenance. And Pellia was like, that's not it. But if you basically, I know what this is. I know it is because of Hemmer, and I know that you miss him, and I know that I'm a reminder of a loss of a colleague. But if you want to pretend it's a C, go for it. And I really thought, I have no idea what it would be like to live as long as Pellia has, but I think the wisdom that she has picked up, but the willingness to just sort of go along, because like, sure, if that's what you need to think, that's fine, felt real to me as a real thing that she would think. But again,
yeah. Comment. To your point, there was also some other good moments with Pellia in here. You know, once she comes across Uhura working in the nacelle, because Uhura is convinced that there's something wrong with the communications array after she hears that sound for the first time and no one else heard it. And Hemmer had taught her how to run this diagnostic herself so that he didn't have to keep dropping what he was doing to run it for her. And when she's up there, Pellia comes across Uhura and is like, what are you doing? And she kind of talks about, she's like, why haven't you ever talked to me before? And it's not just Una that is having this grief over Hemmer's death. It's a lot of people. And Uhura was one of them. And there's a couple other fun things. You know, Pellia's got, she's got a lot of wisdom, which is something you were just saying a second ago. And, you know, oh, he was one of my most brilliant students. Really? Like, no, he was average. But it's saying that because, you know, he's gone. And to your point, she's lived for a very long time, and she's experienced multiple lifetimes and seen countless people come and go. And she knows how to deal with this grief. And she doesn't like take these things personally, which is a sign of maturity and a sign of wisdom. So no, I agree with you. This was a good episode for her as well. You brought up James Kirk, and he arrives because he is serving on the Farragut.
Yep.
And he's about to be promoted to first officer of the Farragut. Yep. But Captain Pike has been promoted to fleet captain. And so he's in charge of the Enterprise, the Farragut, and the refinery. But James comes over to coordinate some things, take care of some business, and see his brother, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you think about the sibling rivalry that those two had going on? And it's, sibling rivalry might be putting it a little bit politely.
So before we get there, because I do want to answer that, I do want to say for the record that as much as I like Wesley's version of Kirk or James Kirk, I feel like this show could be just as good without James Kirk ever appearing. Want that said.
Yeah.
That being said, since we get him, let's play with it. I was actually going to ask you about this. I like Sam. I'm not entirely sure that Sam, I don't want to say had a point, but I was not, I was trying to figure out if the show wanted us to be on Kirk's side or I'm going to call them Kirk and Sam. I'm sorry. That's not right, but I'm going to do it. If they wanted us to be on Kirk's side or Sam's side, because Sam really, I felt, came out of nowhere. Like, you know, how dare you be the first, you know, the youngest first officer of the Farragut? I'm like, your brother isn't doing that at you, dude. That's just, he has chosen a path and you have chosen a path. And these paths are different, but I do suspect that the, you know, dad likes you more is probably a thing. I don't, I mean,
right.
You have brothers? Go.
Well, it's impossible to judge this relationship without actually knowing how George Kirk treats his sons. Because right. At least from Sam's perspective, he feels like James is the favorite son. Because James is following a career path in Starfleet more similar to what George did. James is becoming the youngest first officer ever in the history of Starfleet. And the guy who had that title before him was George Kirk on the Kelvin. And so Sam is can't help but feel like his passions, his decisions are disappointing dad. And he's taking that out on James when it comes down to, which is not fair, because if you are eager for your dad's, and James kind of calls him out on this in a roundabout way, which is, you know, if you're eager for dad's affection, you could have chose a different path, but we're both pursuing our careers in our own way and we're being successful. And, you know, Sam even says something like, well, you know, have fun being the first officer on the Farragut. I'm the xenobiologist on the flagship. And so, you know, there, you know, some of those things generally are the sibling rivalry. But I, at least from where I was sitting, I was siding much more with James in all of this, which was the, you know, because Sam's not really angry with James. He's angry with George, but he can't be angry with George because that's dad. And and so he's going for the easier target there.
And I also liked how, you know, Sam has been kind of the butt of the joke for the last couple of episodes, you know, with Spock and the fact that Sam is a slob. And I do think even though they did have this sort of, let's say, call it a bad Sam moment, Sam at the end is incredibly useful and incredibly, you know, and so they do show the fact that he is good at his job, which is, I mean, he's on the flagship. He would have to be good at his job in order to be at the flagship. But the fact that he gets that plot point that, like, yes, you came to my lab and you needed my help and I helped you get on the right track, I think was really good, because I do like Sam as a character and I need him to just not be the slob who makes Spock crazy all the time.
True. Sam probably just needs more screen time in general on series. He hasn't been utilized in more episodes than he has been utilized when it comes down to it. And those that he's been in, he's been a relatively minor character in this. This is probably, at least my memory, the most involved he's been in the plot.
In recent history, yeah.
Yeah, so You know, but it did set up that absolutely iconic, excellent moment at the end where James and Uhura are talking. And I can't remember exactly what James says, something to, about the, you know, Sam could be like irritating, overwhelming. And Spock is like picking up after Sam and is like, you have no idea. And that's when Uhura introduces James and Spock to each other and they shake hands. They invite Spock to dance. So we have three members of the crew of the original series sitting down in the bar together. That was just fact. That was spectacular. Such a neat moment at the end of the episode.
It was so fun. But what I really also really liked about it was, and again, I caught this in the second viewing. So if you have only seen it once and you are a huge TOS fan, highly recommend you watch it again and note the score. There is not a giant swell of music. There is not a, hey guys, the, you know, it is very, people in a bar, and when they pull out, the bar is happening, you know, bar life, enterprise life is happening around them. So while it is significant, it is a significant cool event to Star Trek fans, it is not presented as a significant event in the life of the Enterprise. And I think that distinction is extremely important and extremely well done. So yay.
Yeah, yeah. Her is the focus of this episode, and we'll get to her, but I just kind of want to save the conversation for her for last, since she is the biggest portion of it. Mm-hmm. We do get another great moment, well, several great moments with James interacting with Uhura. And one comes after she walks away from Spock and Nurse Chapel, and we'll get to that one in just a second.
Yeah.
And goes to the bar, and James is there. And he starts talking to her and makes a note. I love this because it was a great callback to that episode just a couple of weeks ago when James says, like, you know, he I can't remember exactly what the line was, but he had been watching Spock and Chapel play chess and said that Spock was two moves away from winning, but then he got riled up and got distracted from that. So he was like completely following this game. It's a neat aspect of James's character that I don't know that I was ever really aware of before, that he is this chess aficionado.
Yeah, it was not something that was ever pointed out. And originally in the original series, I think, you know, so much of the dichotomy was, you know, Spock was the smart, logical one, and, you know, James, cowboy diplomacy. And so the idea was that, yes, Kirk was smart, but he, you know, was more emotional. And I think one of the things I really like about what little we've gotten of James Kirk in Strange New Worlds is that the charm is there, the potential is there. He was hitting on Uhura. I don't really care what he said. I think he was hitting on her, and the fact that if she didn't like go for it just didn't make him mad. So he was like, yeah, whatever, okay. But he was hitting on her. But that's not the point. But you can see that. But he also has been given a level of depth that I have really enjoyed.
Yeah. I didn't take it that he was hitting on her. I think he was hanging out in the bar on the ship that's not his, and he was observing things. And I took him at his word when he says, like, you look like someone who could use someone to talk to. And so he was being friendly, only to go walk out into the hall and get slugged by her after she has one of her hallucinations where she's fighting herself. And I thought it was really cool of him when Uhura said, let's get you down to med bay. And he's like, wait a minute, do you really want to answer questions about hitting an officer, a senior officer, right now? And she's like, okay, I've got a dermal regenerator in my quarters. Let's go back there. And so he like gets all in on fixing the problem. And to your point though, I mean, he's got a reputation, right, of being a ladies' man. And in this case, he really was putting duty first. And he really was putting the welfare of a fellow officer first. And I don't know. It's been a long time since I sat down and watched any of the original series, not the movies, the actual television show. But, and I'm not saying Kirk was a bad guy. I just don't remember him being as empathetic and reaching out as much as I've seen of him in the couple episodes he's been in Strange New Worlds.
I don't disagree. I don't think that was a major part, but I do think one of the reasons why he is so successful with women in the original series is because of his empathy. Mm. But I don't think it is played in the original series as much as genuine empathy as this is the part where Kirk seduces a woman.
Gotcha. Okay, so Spock and Nurse Chapel here. They are, you know, last we saw them together was the end of the prior episode when she showed up at his door and Spock, you know, basically they're doing the friends, you know, he's on a break with T'Pring, and he says that, you know, he's not interested in denying his feelings for Nurse Chapel, and they had their liaison there in his quarters. And now they're playing chess, and he's attempting to address this whatever they have relationship, but she doesn't want to talk about it. And she gets into this whole analogy to Schrodinger's cat, because he's mentioning, you know, that they're officers on the ship. Perhaps they should be notifying Starfleet about this. And her response is that, you know, I don't think we should be telling anybody about it because, you know, like Schrodinger's cat, as soon as it gets observed by somebody else, then it may or it may not be something. And at the moment, at least it has an opportunity to be something.
Yes. I did feel like I agree with Spock. Or no, I'm sorry. I agree with Chapel. I feel like Spock is kind of running this a little fast. Mm-hmm. And I really liked how Chapel put it. And I did like... I just liked that scene. I thought it was it felt very honest in a, you know, something is starting here and we don't know what it is and we don't know what it can be. So let's just take it slowly rather than just start announcing it before we know more about it. And but that being said, I don't think Spock was wrong. I mean, it's a workplace relationship and those should be reported. But I thought that was a really good scene. I have to admit that after last week's episode with that ending, I was, and I should give Strange New Worlds, the writers' room, much more credit than I do. And I keep saying I'm going to, and then I don't. But I was very concerned that like the next episode was just going to be all Chapel, all Spock, all the time. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they had this little moment, which moved the story forward, which was important. And then, I mean, is it even a C story? It's sort of up there with sort of Sam and Kirk's relationship with George in terms of real meat to it. So I like how they address it, but it like I said, it moves along in this tiny, tiny little bit, and then we go back to the regular story. And if they want to continue doing that with their relationship for quite a while, I will be happy with that.
Yeah, to your point you made earlier about this series, that it is episodic. And so while you can have each one of these episodes be their own thing, that doesn't mean that you don't have these underlying plot threads that go from episode to episode. And to me, I think that's one of the things that makes Strange New Worlds so great, as opposed to taking one mystery and dragging it out over 13, 14 episodes. There is a mission of the week, but then they still carry all of the character plot lines from episode to episode. And I think that really works much better than it does in Discovery and to Picard, for that matter, overall. I think it keeps the show fresh. I think it keeps, I think it's helpful to the viewer that they don't have to sit there and kind of keep track of all these clues that have been spread out over a dozen episodes in order to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, I agree. I think Discovery and Picard kind of overcorrected the issues that came up mostly in Next Gen, but not entirely. You know, there's an episode of Next Generation where Geordi gets kidnapped by Romulans and tortured. And at the end of the episode, there are, you know, this will be months of hard work before Geordi can ever, you know, really be Geordi again. Or it's the following week and it's never discussed again. Yeah, I think, like I said, I think Discovery kind of overcorrected that, and Strange New Worlds is getting much closer to that, to threading that needle of moving emotional things throughout the series without giving them, you know, A storylines, and keeping the episodic stuff being the A and B storylines, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get to this whole thing going on with Uhura. And of course, I set it up at the top of the episode where she's getting this weird signal that she can't interpret. At first, she thought it was coming through the comms, which it was not. But it turns out it is these alien life forms from a different dimension, or subspace maybe even. I can't remember which exactly she said. And they don't fully take form, in our galaxy, but they've attached themselves to these particles of deuterium. And then when the Enterprise opens its nacelle to refuel by sucking in the deuterium, they end up harming these aliens. And the refinery is doing it on a much larger scale. So they are attempting to communicate with officers in, you know, in Starfleet. You know, it's Ramon from the Farragut or other finer. I can't remember which one he was from. And then we've got Uhura on the Enterprise. But, you know, they don't know how to talk. So she ends up seeing images basically from her own memories in their attempt to talk to her. What did you think about that?
I thought it was really interesting. I thought it was I thought it was well done. I mean, zombie-esque Hemmer was terrifying. Mm-hmm. And what I really liked about all of her, I think all of her hallucinations, and certainly the first couple. So there's that one where she hears the red alert and she runs to the bridge and the screen cracks, which was terrifying to me. But then Spock gets sucked out of the thing and I'm like, okay, well, this isn't real. So the fact that they did these, like, you would have these terrifying moments and then you'd be like, oh, okay, well, as a viewer, I know this isn't real, was really interesting. And then how, you know, there's that one moment where, and it took us a while, or it took me a while, I don't know everybody else, to figure out that there's a scene where she's trying to sleep and she sees herself in this beautiful field. I mean, it's this beautiful field and she's in her pajamas and stuff, but she sees this huge smoke cloud. And I didn't put together that was the scene of her, you know, parents and brother's shuttle crash until much later. But I thought, and so I was, you know, I kept going, well, what's this vision? What's this vision? And it kept me engaged in a way that was really, it was really good. And I enjoyed it. And taught us and got an opportunity for Uhura to face some of this grief without turning it into a Uhura is sad episode.
Yeah, I have to admit the red alert scene at first got me that there was actually something going on. And then as soon as I saw Spock get sucked out into space, I was like, nope, that didn't happen. But at least at the moment when she was in her quarters and all of a sudden there was that call to red alert, I was like, oh, wow, you know, things just been dialed up. But I'm with you. I thought this episode was really cool in the way that it focused her. And we got to see what it was that was driving her, how she was burying herself in her work as a coping mechanism. So she wouldn't have time to think about her family. And, you know, she was to the point where she could no longer look at their pictures. She wasn't there, you know, when they died, but still she was envisioning their crash. And that pain was being drawn on by these aliens in order to try and communicate with her. And eventually it works. If I have a critique of this episode, it's her way of figuring out exactly what they meant by the images they shared. Because I think that could have meant a lot of different things, but it still works story-wise. But I, you know, and then, you know, the Dr. Mbenga and Nurse Chapel have been getting on her case about not sleeping, not getting enough rest, and then disobeying orders. You know, she was supposed to be on leave, but she kept coming back. She couldn't pull herself away from her work because that was her coping mechanism.
And one thing I want to say about that, she goes and talks to Spock about how, you know, it can't possibly be this poisoning because it happened before she was in the nacelle. And I really enjoyed how, because it happens so much that some human goes to a Vulcan and tries to like out logic them. And the fact that Spock just squashed that, yeah. I was like, thank you. That needed to be done because, I mean, at the end, Uhura is correct, but to just be like, well, logically, this is something else because I heard it before the exposure. And he's like, yeah, except for, you know, all of these other things. So, you know, don't Occam's razor me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as we get going with Uhura's adventure, I do like the way she kind of figured out the way that, you know, these aliens were trying to talk to her. And they were, but it was the language center of her brain that was being affected the most by this. And that was what happened with Ramon, the other officer that was hearing this, and they like burnt him out And so it was like, you know, is that sensory overload? I just thought that was clever. I thought that this episode worked on a lot of different levels, and that the way that they developed her story, even though, like I said, that maybe they jumped a little too quickly to the conclusion about how she figured it out, I still appreciated the A to B to C on this one.
I did too. And I also enjoyed how she essentially saved herself. I mean, there was those moments where she has that, where she's talking to Ramon and James, you know, comes in and basically emergency beams her out. That explosion was, wow, that was terrifying.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Uhura does save the day, which I thought was a good thing too. Because you could very easily see a universe in which, oh, we have James Kirk here, so James Kirk is going to save the day. And he right. didn't.
You know, one of the things I appreciate about this episode was that not every member of the crew, because there were some of them that only had like a couple lines, like Ortegas only got one line in this. But we've been talking a couple weeks ago how a lot of these episodes at the beginning of the season were very focused on one character to the exclusion of everybody else, like practically not being in the episode at all. And mm-hmm. in this one, we got good scenes from Uhura. We had a couple good scenes with M'Benga and Nurse Chapel and Spock. Pike played a good mm-hmm. role in this as well.
This was a good Pike episode.
Yeah, I think this episode was much more balanced with the attention that they gave to officers. Now, they didn't give everybody a lot of moments to shine in this. Like I said, Ortegas only had one line in the whole thing. But it wasn't like half the crew only got one line in the episode. They did a much better job in kind of including everybody to make you feel like there really was a crew on this ship.
Yeah, no, you definitely got to see the ensemble be a bit more of an ensemble, which I really liked. But yeah, also a really good Pike episode. Let's talk about that. He was a good, you know, he even says to her, you know, basically, as your captain and as your friend, I need you to start taking care of yourself, which I really liked. And then at the end, you know, not only, I mean, Pike basically, like I said, blows up the refinery based on Uhura's say-so, but then says to Uhura, like, I made this call. I will take whatever, you know, whatever blowback comes, I will take it because I made that call, which I think really speaks to why he got made fleet commander or fleet captain. And I really did like the new com badge, or I guess it's not a com badge, the new insignia that he got. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. I agree with you. I think that was important that the buck stops there. And not that captains in Star Trek have thrown their subordinate officers under the bus in here, but you're captain of the ship. The buck stops with you. You could have told her no. And I think it was important to remind her of this. It's like, you know, we're doing this on your recommendation, but ultimately I'm the one that makes that call. And so if there is going to be blowback on this, it's going to be me. And to your point, I think that was definitely an important aspect of this episode.
Especially because, and it's her job to call the Admiral, but you know, you could see like, you call the Admiral and tell him what you did. And it was like, nope, get the Admiral on the phone. And then I need you to go to sleep.
Yeah. And the other thing that you said that I liked as well is that he, I think he's a really good captain. He keeps things professional on the bridge, but for the most part, you know, when Uhura was like drifting off, he, you know, I can't remember what he said to her. And she's like, you know, you need a nap, you know, ensign. And then, you know, that's when we start learning about how she's been staying up late nights, not getting sleep. She's a workaholic and the like. And he does this with like all the officers. He pulls them aside and talks to them, you know, not only as your captain, but as your friend, you know, yada, 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 you know, whatever they need to hear. And he does listen to input from his crew. I think Pike is fantastic. He's hard not to like on the show.
No, he's an extremely good captain. And actually, to your point about Uhura getting promoted, did you notice that she left the lower decks and had her own room?
Oh, good point. Yeah. Yeah.
She didn't have that bunk anymore.
Yeah.
Which is good because, you know, they were doing weird stuff trying to soak up, you know, too much energy. So.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, was there anything from this episode we haven't got to yet that you want to discuss before we wrap it up?
I'm sure there is. It was good seeing Hemmer back. I know that he didn't have any lines except for that. I'm going to call it a YouTube video. I know that it wasn't, but it had that very, as someone who looks at YouTube videos to do things around the house, I was glad to know that was still a technology that worked. But no, I really enjoyed this episode. I'm really enjoying this season. I'm enjoying the pace that it happened. And I am looking forward. I'm always looking forward to the next episode, but I'm continuing to enjoy what's happening here.
Indeed. Well said. Speaking of the next episode, we got a surprise drop of that over the weekend. Since they were premiering it at San Diego Comic-Con, they went ahead and released it on Paramount Plus. So we recorded this one after having watched both, but there will be an extra episode of Strange New Worlds this week, and then we're getting another one here on Thursday. So lots of Strange New Worlds coming out in a very quick pace. And that next episode we're getting Subspace Rhapsody, the all musical episode, first ever for Star Trek. We got our Lower Decks crossover, and then that. So we got a couple fun episodes to talk about in the very near future.
To go to your point, though, I am interested, with not much of the season left, that they are doing this, especially the musical one, without it. I don't know how much Gorn we're going to get this season.
I'm beginning to suspect it's going to be a season finale cliffhanger type thing.
That's a good one. Yeah. No, I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, you are right.
Yeah. And they seem to be wrapping up this season quickly to give us just a little bit of breathing space before the next season, Lower Decks, shows up in what, September? So
right around the corner.
Yeah. Okay, well then, that will conclude our discussion of Season 2, Episode 6, Lost in Translation. We'll be back soon with our discussion of Those Old Scientists, the crossover with the crew of Lower Decks. But before we go, Beth, you want to remind everybody where they can find us on social media one more time?
Yeah, absolutely. We are on Twitter at Warp Trails. We're on Instagram and Facebook at Warp Trails Pod. Really, at least I spend most of my time on the RetroZap Discord server. So if you find the Warp Trails room and you can discuss any Star Trek with us, we are pretty much, there's so much conversation about so many things happening on that Discord server. I recommend checking out any room that interests you, but the Warp Trails room is really the only Star Trek room.
For sure. All right. And our show is, of course, part of the RetroZap Podcast Network. You can head over to RetroZap.com for all of our episodes and for all the other great podcasts covering everything from collecting, video games, superheroes, Star Wars, and much, much more. And with that, thanks for joining us, everyone. Live long and prosper. And we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, and go find yourself a real cookie.